Welcome, everyone, to another fabulous episode of the Shoujo Podcast, where I, Sarah, introduce my good bud here, Joe, to shoujo anime series, which typically target girls. And Joe's a boy, so he hasn't seen any of them because he's just a basic dude who didn't watch anime until high school, college.
That's right.
And missed the boat on some sweet show. So now that we are well-aged, we're going to watch some, or we have, and we'll continue to cover some shows that have or have not aged well.
That's right.
Our current series is My Happy Marriage, which is new. The time period that it's set in hasn't aged well, but what can you do when you set your anime in the Taisho era?
It didn't age well, like, because it became reality?
Well,
it led into the 21st century, which we all hate.
Because it's set in a time period of which it's staying true to the time, but then there's outdated concepts, even though it's a new anime.
Oh, I'm going to have so much to talk about this episode. So much to talk about.
As we try to do on our podcast, talk about the stuff we're covering. But before we do all that, let's catch up. Because me and Joe, if you can believe it, We're really friends in real life.
In real life.
Even though we mostly catch up via this podcast, but that's why we started it in the first place. So tell me a tale, Joe. What's going on?
So today, as listeners might remember from previously, my car got smashed into. Not too badly to make it undrivable, but bad enough again. I had to drop it off. And today I dropped it off in the shop. So this begins step one in my car recovery process. Now I drive a Toyota Corolla because I am normcore.
Oh, reliable.
That's right. And so I, for the first time, have the opportunity to get a rental car, which could be a different car than what I, you know, what I normally drive.
Oh my God. Have you only driven a Toyota Corolla?
Yes, this is the only car I've ever had. It got replaced because they couldn't replace the airbags, so we talked them into giving me a different car. But it's always been a Toyota Corolla my whole driving experience. Well, not my dad's car. When I got my license, I got my dad's car. That was a different car. But the whole time I've had a car, it's been that car, which I've had for now 9 years, apparently, which is crazy because I barely drive. But this is my opportunity to drive a different car. Right. I like, you know, it's a rental. So they'll just give you whatever they got. Right. And so I'm waiting at the repair shop for them to drive my car up, and they drive up in none other than a different year Toyota Corolla. So now I have a Toyota Corolla from a different year. So the inside looks different, and they don't have things like the knob doesn't change the volume. You can only change the volume on the steering wheel. Not a big fan of that.
No, most of them, I feel like you have both options.
You would think this one. That's you do wild. Not. So
is
I have,
it a newer one than yours?
I don't know. I get it must be because it has CarPlay. Mine doesn't have CarPlay. You have to stick your phone in, connected to Bluetooth.
CarPlay freaking rules.
So I think it's newer, but it also feels worse. So I think it's like the low end newer one.
Yeah, that's what's so unfortunate, because it's like you just assume things are better if they're newer, but not if they're the base model, I guess. You gotta fork up the dough for the... That's how it is with my new car, where it's like, oh, it's newer, so you think it's nicer. But my old car, it was a stud of a car, had it all, and now it feels like a downgrade even though it's newer.
Yeah, and every time I feel like I drive a new car, it always feels like I'm doing one of those, like... racing games at an arcade where like the steering wheel feels weird, like it feels like a toy.
Yeah,
so it's complicated. I don't know, I'm getting used to it still.
Imagine if they'd given you a different car.
Yeah, that'd have been pretty sweet.
How different that would feel.
I could have experienced what it's like to drive any other car, but I never will, I guess.
You need to drive my last car for like 5 seconds, right? When I had to drop mine off for the rental or pick it up or something.
Yeah, I've driven other cars before. Year. Like I've driven other people's cars briefly, but not like for a prolonged period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry they robbed you of getting to do that.
Yeah, but you know, things turn out all different kinds of ways. So maybe this is a sign that I am just condemned to driving a Toyota Corolla for the rest of my life. I feel like maybe that's how I should interpret that. It's not
the worst car to be stuck driving. They're getting, the newer Toyota cars are looking pretty sweet, pretty sporty.
Yeah. And like, listen,
even normal cars look nice now.
It's pretty wild how little I drive. Like I've had that, like I got my 9-year maintenance on that car and I have gone less than 5,000 miles on it. I haven't even gotten the tires replaced.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't drive that much because I never had to drive to work. I never had to commute to work because now I work from home, so I don't have to drive. And when I was in grad school, I would take the bus because the bus was free and it would just take me there.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to park on campus because that cost a lot of money. So I almost never drove.
You had to drive it across the country, huh?
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I pretty much only use it for long trips. So, like, I've taken several 500 plus mile trips on it, but I only did that a couple times a year.
I am having the hardest time believing this is, that's wild. Because you didn't, if you had gone to college in Texas, you would have racked up that mileage real fast.
For sure. Yeah, but I just don't drive much, you know? It's nice not having to drive. I save a lot of money on gas.
Joe, we've almost been out of college for 10 years. How wild is that?
I know. Well. It's been longer for you than for me.
Oh, never mind. Not you.
Because I went an extra 4 years. Okay, sorry.
Some of us are chumps who just went to undergrad.
I've just been at my job for 5 years. I'm like 5 years out of college. So that's my experience.
You're just a baby in the workforce.
Yeah, in the workforce.
And yet, I feel like I've really hit my stride in the workforce in the last 4 years, so.
Ah, yeah. It takes some time, you know?
It can. Some of us just get a job and stay there.
Yeah. That's true.
Some of us have a bunch of odd jobs because we can't settle.
Because we live in a hell world. We live in the gig economy hell world, it turns out.
Yes. I imagine graduating now.
Yeah. I don't want to think about the hell world we live in. Instead, I want to talk about anime. Okay. I finally finished watching Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, is it concluded? Is it over?
No. It's but done? The 2011 show goes up to 151 episodes, and then it stops because they caught up to what was published at the time.
Oh, so what is there now?
Well,
that's it.
They haven't made any more of the anime. The manga is still kind of ongoing, but the mangaka is like, it's one of those where like the creator gets sick fairly often.
He's married to Sailor Moon's creator. Dang, a lot of pressure to be like a manga creator. If you're aging, it's like hundreds of thousands of millions of people are like, I guess it's the same thing as like George R. Martin or whatever, but like where it's like so much pressure to finish your work.
That's true.
Your work spans decades. It's crazy.
That's pretty,
like,
I can't
imagine. So over this story.
I can't imagine doing that.
Nah.
That's fairly intense. But yeah, so I finished watching it. Got to the end after many, 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 what felt like many, many hours. I mean, it was many hours because it's a really long show, but it felt longer than that.
And Chimera Ant was the worst.
It was pretty bad.
Confirmed.
That was pretty bad. My takeaway from Hunter x Hunter is that you should probably read the manga and not watch the show, because I did not enjoy the show very much, because for every cool thing that happens in the show, like for every episode that has some cool stuff where you're like, wow, this is awesome, you know, where the highs are high. You have about 3 episodes of some of the most boring stuff you've ever watched.
Dang.
And I feel like the reason
Continue.
The reason.
Sorry.
It's our favorite bit where you tell me to go and then you keep talking over me.
Sorry. I was just going to say it's where I like try to do the thing where I'm like relating by telling a story, but it's taking away from your story.
No, go ahead.
Continue. I was just going to say, when I think of cool parts of, I just think of Kurapika with like the chain theft. Kurapika's cool.
Yeah.
Or was cool early on. Maybe he's a loser now or got written off like Leorio.
No. Okay. Leorio shows back up at the end and does some cool stuff, which is fun.
Okay.
Krabico does not show back up. He should. The next manga arc that wasn't in the anime is about him. So,
okay.
Short end of the stick, like, for him.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Anyways, continue. Shut up, Sarah. Okay.
But yeah, my and the reason why is because Hunter x Hunter does this thing a lot where, like, characters it'll tell you what everybody is thinking in a scene. It'll be like, this person thought this and considered this thing, but they didn't know this, etc. Right? Like, it does that a lot, and that takes a lot of time in narrative form, and it's usually kind of boring. But I can imagine if this was a comic and I was just reading a static page where they just had that in a text box, I could read that page in a couple of seconds as opposed to watching it for like a minute and a half.
Mm.
So, which is to say, I should be reading more manga and not watching anime, I think, is the takeaway.
Totally.
Which I have not been doing, by the way. I've not been reading any of the manga that I'm supposed to be reading.
What do you mean supposed to be? Read the manga you want to read. No one's...
I know. I'm supposed to be reading The Rose of Versailles. I haven't been doing that. I need to set aside time for that. I have all these other... I have these book club books I'm supposed to read. We're going to finish one up that we've all been hating, and I'm ready to be done with it. I guess I'll talk about it maybe next week, because we'll be at the end. But yeah,
maybe it turns it around in the last chapter.
That would be insane. That would be crazy. I would love that if it could do that. I just don't think so. I just don't think it will.
Okay. Nice.
And then my second book club is looming over my head because I have only read one chapter.
Oh my god! Drop a book club. You're gonna have to make a decision. You're too busy now. You got a girlfriend. You got obligations. You got
life. Not only this, you're gonna like this. And in terms of doing more stuff, not only have I decided not to drop anything, I've also decided.
Oh God.
Because you know, my girlfriend is Chinese. What if I, in addition to taking my Japanese classes, which I am still doing. Even though I went on my trip and failed at using the language, I'm still going to learn because why not? I'm already this far. I can't be in beginner tier forever. What if I also took a Mandarin class, which I will now be doing on Saturdays for an hour?
Oh my God, Joe.
They're kind of similar thing.
You have. Okay. Okay. I wouldn't know.
I mean, not the pronunciation the talking and listening, not at all. 0% the same, but the characters are kind of the same sometimes.
Cool. Well, I mean, you'll have someone to practice with.
Yeah.
And that sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's romantic. Learning. It's you're like fucking what's his face? Itsuyomi.
Yeah.
Learning a language for his lady.
That's right. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm going to view it. Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's not going to burn me out. I'm not going to get annihilated.
I don't know why you. I don't.
By my 10,000 obligations all the time. I've had multiple meetings.
I can't even do subscription food because it stresses me out committing to cooking a meal twice a week. Oh my God.
Yeah, I've had multiple meetings at work where, like, my boss is like, "You sure are on a lot of stuff. Are you doing too much stuff?" And I'm always like, "I don't know, man. I guess we'll just see. If I don't get it done, then I'm on too much stuff."
As a child, were you like bored a lot?
Yes, I was bored a lot as a child. I've become a little aware of my own mortality, and I'm like, I'm gonna die not accomplishing all of the many things I want to accomplish. So now I have to do them all before I die, you know, after I turn.
I literally was just talking to someone. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, no, who are you talking about this?
I was just talking about death, and they're like, "Aren't you bothered by this or that?" I'm like, "No. I just kind of, whatever happens, happens." Unstressed by my pending doom.
I would not say stressed.
Bring it on.
About my impending doom. What I've said is that I've turned my life into a scheduling problem. And that's kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, I can fit all the little pieces in my schedule where I can, like, slot it in here. I'm like, ooh, I have an hour and a half there. I can do something. I can call somebody. I can do this other thing. Ooh, I got to think about what I'm doing for the next 3 days. Isn't that fun? It's how I distract myself from the hell world we live in. I think it's good and healthy, and my therapist agrees.
Okay. Not actually. I've got a question for you.
What?
Yeah, I was going to say. So if it all becomes too much, like, where does the podcast fall in the order of, like, what's getting cut loose to make time for breathing?
Oh, it's pretty high. You know me. Phew. I fall into that sunk cost fallacy. We have yeah. sunk a lot of
We've
time
We've been
into
doing
this.
It 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be, when I drop stuff, it's going to be in reverse order from when I did them. So, my okay. romantic Please. Learning language for my girlfriend, gone. Off the top of the pile. Romance is dead.
I was going to say,
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That simply will never happen, is the thing. It turns out I am extremely powerful and can just always do more things. So this will actually never happen. In fact, what's more likely is that I'm going to start doing more stuff. I'm going to pick back up the hobbies that have been rusting away that I haven't been doing. I'm going to get back into sewing. I'm going to get back into cross-stitching.
The unicycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm going to start my own TikTok channel.
You just hate that I mentioned the unicycle.
Yeah, the unicycle. We're going to bring that back. Uh-huh. I'm going to start getting into multitasking. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's going to be great. I'm going to be so powerful. What Other going to be people to be like, how you do it? Wait. And I'm like, I'm just like this.
Do you see me? And you're like, Sarah's just, look at all the free time Sarah has. Like, she should be doing free time.
You sleep a lot. I'm concerned.
I haven't. You know what? I did take a long nap yesterday.
Mm.
But I swear to God, that was the first nap I've taken in a while.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah, maybe in over a week. So I'm wow. getting better.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I know. Oh, you know what? That's not true. I did nap through something.
Okay.
Thursday. Just kidding. Never mind. Okay. I did say I was gonna start streaming and then I slept through that. I did stream. I just streamed like 30 minutes late and everyone was like, Sarah, where are you? And I was like, And they're like, she's probably sleeping. They were right.
Yeah.
Dang. Ips.
So what's okay. been going on with
Whatever.
You? I've been talking a lot.
I feel like it's getting better. Okay. what has been going on with me? I cleaned a bunch today. I am on season 32 of Survivor. I am almost... No, that's false. 42. I'm on season 42 of Survivor.
Wow.
I've only got like... 4 more seasons and then I'm caught up for season 50, which I'm sure will like be terrible. And then half the seasons I watched were bad and then some of them were good. Whatever. Love Island All Stars has started back up. So Love Island's back in my life. Happy for that. Traitors is on and it's good because it's got a hottie from Love Island on it. And I like there's some problematic guy who was on it, Michael Rapport or something. I don't know. The guy was like a total idiot. So, like eating, like drinking water glass with both his hands, like a little kid, and like scraping food like into his mouth. I don't know. It's just funny. It's fun to watch, or it's fun to have social media content or podcasts to listen to while you consume something. So that's like, yeah. Because if you're not watching with someone, that's like, you don't know what other people think of a thing until. But I have gotten someone watching it with me, so that's fun. That's just the dream, is to have like a person that doesn't want to watch something, and then you just lure them in with the first episode, and then they get hooked, and then it's like, oh my god, see, isn't it great?
Oh, that is good.
That's all I want.
That is good. I think
know
maybe.
It's so good.
On that topic, I think maybe when you like finish Survivor, right, and you have all this time. Where you watched all of Survivor in a row. Have you ever thought about watching all of Mobile Suit Gundam in a row? You know, just like from the jump all the way to the end, like I'm doing. I've been watching Turn A Gundam for 10 years because I'm slow rolling everything because my life is a disaster. But I bet you could do it.
I probably could. Yeah. I have demonstrated an incredible ability to binge watch.
Yeah.
No, what? What's Gundam?
What if we watch the first episode and you get hooked and the dream is alive?
We could attempt.
Yeah.
The first episode, and I highly doubt I will get hooked.
Yeah.
What I fear is going to happen is I'm going to go back and start watching old Big Brother. But each season of Big Brother is like, it's like 3 hour long episodes a week per season. And there's like, it covers like 3 months of time. I'm like, oh my God, that's too much. I
Whoa.
Can't do that. Surely I can't. That would be too much. Survivor is taking me this long.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. what I'm going to do with the, I'm trying to get back into streaming. I haven't played very much more Clair Obscur. I'm trying to think of, did I mention getting to the part where my mind is blown and I'm like, I'm too dumb to play this game when it, like, this plot reveal was happening?
No.
I didn't see coming at all. Okay, well, that happened. I'm not going to mention any specifics since it's still a game people are enjoying and maybe you'll enjoy as well, but it's like when you read a book in AP English and you're like, wait, what? That's what the story was about? Because they're all fancy talky and it goes over your head, and that's how it feels playing Clair Obscur.
Mm. Yes, you know what you could do? You know what you could do? Instead of watching all of Gundam, maybe a little more on brand for the podcast, is you could just go all through Precure. Because we're not going to cover that, because there's 1,000 episodes, but you could watch 1,000 episodes of something.
I mean, if that's the case, then maybe I should be trying to finish one or catch up on One Piece.
You should catch up on
One Piece. I'm like halfway through that. That's good. I gotta get that one pace going.
I feel like many things are better than watching all of Big Brother.
Yes, I can't. Let's not let it get to that. I gotta get back. I just gotta start streaming more, I think. I am getting some wireless earbuds to, so that I can like wear hats and stuff while I stream. So that way I can wear more things on my head when I stream, and I'm hoping that'll be an encouraging thing. I don't know. I need, I've got Code Vein 2, which comes out soon. Actually, that might be coming out like this week. And then Neo 3, both of which I'm sure I, Code Vein, I think I'll finish. Neo 3, highly doubt. But I will play it and enjoy it to the time I don't, or I get to the part I can't beat, which will be quickly encountered. We have a cold front coming, which might ruin these plans, but I was going to go to Six Flags next weekend if it doesn't rain for my brother's birthday. And I'm excited because I already have a season pass. So then it's like, I feel like unless you live somewhere near a theme park, if you buy a season pass, maybe you get 2 goes out of it and then it's gone.
That's, yeah, that might but I would be like worth to get it.
More. It's only like $10 more than a single day ticket. So yeah. It's always worth it to get the season pass. So I would like to go again, because the last time I went, it was someone who was very easily nauseated and I restrained myself from riding all the rides I would like to ride. So I want to ride all the rides. I want to ride the Poltergeist that goes like 60 miles an hour and like whatever point blah, blah, blah seconds and all the stuff. And then if I'm with my mom, because it's for my brother's birthday, I bet she would splurge on like Flash Pass, and then I'm waiting in line at all.
Nice. Get that VIP treatment.
I don't know. Yep.
The good stuff.
Yeah. So that's about all I've got, I would say. Yeah. You want to talk about my happy marriage?
Should we dig into the 3 episodes we watched, and maybe my opinion of things has changed significantly from these 3 episodes?
Oh shit, I can't maybe. Oh my, let's, I am so excited to hear in what way that has happened.
Yeah, here we go.
Joe is no longer enchanted by magic.
I don't believe in magic anymore. I don't believe in fairies. I'm not going to clap my hands to bring Tinkerbell back to life. Thank you very much.
We asked for a mascot and then we had a canonical child now.
Oh, I forgot about the child. I hate the child. Okay. Happy Marriage Season 2, Episode 9. It's called Dream Tidings. We open on an Oni running loose in the city. Godo and squad try to contain it, but magical attacks are not very effective against it. While they're doing this, they're also just being jeered by the general public, who criticizes them for being ineffective at fighting this thing, even though it's like a big threat to everybody right now. Godo gets pissed and decides to throw some metal pillars at the Oni defeating it. However, upon defeat, it doesn't change back into a human like they all expected, and they speculate that there's something different about this one than there was about the previous ones. Elsewhere, the Minister of the Army and his lieutenants discussed the Gifted Communion. The Minister does not think they're a threat and leaves, but then we see that one of his lieutenants is actually a Gifted Communion member in disguise who kills the other lieutenant. Ooh. And then now she enters the military headquarters.
And no one heard a thing.
No, it's fine. You know what? Just, it's chill. This is how you take over the army, I guess. Back at the royal palace, the men examine the dead Oni. The doctor guy we met several episodes back, whose name I didn't write down, begins extracting an orb from the Oni, which is wrapped in several barriers. They speculate that this is made it immune to magical attacks, a thing that does not matter. Kazushi shows up and helps them break the barriers, since I guess that's going to be his job. That's why he's in the show, the barrier breaking guy, and also to be Goto's boyfriend.
Such like a eye catching character design. Oh, yeah, I was gonna say there was a moment where it very much felt. I was like, "Yep, totally." Yep,
for sure.
Continue. Don't be alarmed. I'm gonna run away and then bring some nail polish to paint my nails while we record. Continue. Okay.
Elsewhere, Mio has another dream. This time, she's at the Saimori estate, and we see that now she has snuck his way in to see Sumi. At this point in time, Sumi is carrying Mio, so it's post-marriage. Now she tells Sumi that the Asuba's misfortune was all because of the Emperor. He's like, I figured out the plot twist, or the secret of season one. And he's founded an organization to deal with the Emperor. And he's like, and I've come here to liberate you from this place. Sumi, however, says she doesn't want to go anymore. Her marriage secured the future of the Asubas, and now she just wants to live her life with Mio. She doesn't need anything else, she says. Now she gets upset and asks her what the hell she's talking about. But Sumi says it's important to her that this is what's important to her, is protecting her daughter and staying with the Saimoris, and that he needs to find out what's important to him, even though it's extremely obvious what's important to him. It's not really what his problem is, Sumi. The scene fades, and yep. Now she asks Mio if she enjoyed the show, and then he says that he's waiting for her, but reassures her that he can't do anything in the dream, so she's safe now. And then he explains that these haven't been flashbacks, these are his dreams. She's invaded his dreams accidentally. Mio asks what's most important to him, and now she says Sumi is most important to him, because duh. He would have done anything, including killing all the Saimoris. But Mio counters that Sumi would not have wanted that. Now she explains that he wants the world governed by powerful people like the Asuba family. But the only way to do that is to destroy the current structure, and he needs Mio's help to do it. Mio refuses, but now she says she can't help anyway, until she's awakened her full maiden powers. And then he says that when she does, she'll be able to dominate people's mind at will. And Mio's like, well, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. And now she says, you definitely will if I put Kyoka in danger. And then Mio's like, you wouldn't. And then she wakes up and sees that it's snowing. The ominous snow has arrived.
Bum, bum, bum.
You're back. Do you have anything to say about that entire sequence of events?
Yeah. See, this is why it's like, oh, I don't have kids. Look, everything I want changes once I have a kid. That's right.
When you have a kid, it just makes you highly irrational, I guess. But I'll talk about that later as we get more revealing flashbacks that infuriate me even more.
Oh, Joe's mad.
Mio goes to talk to Kyoka, but is surprised that she not only can't find Kyoka, she can't find anybody. She runs out into the snow and starts banging on one of the gates, which is closed, and Yuri and Suzuki come out to see what the commotion is, and Mio explains that they're all in danger, just as the three hear a commotion from the other side of the gate. The gate opens, and we see the Minister of Education's driver from the other day. He's killed the guards, and now he's come to take Mio. He starts magically choking out Suzuki while Mio and Yuri run away. Suzuki tries to hold him off by doing some unnamed magical ability that does not work.
No. It's disappointing. We were like, oh, hopefully she has abilities and they're cool. And then she just gets wrecked.
She just kind of makes the scene blue and then passes out because she's still getting choked.
I think
she
it's
doesn't
supposed
do
to be some
right.
kind of barrier. Yeah.
Girl, come on. Come on. How come your brother is the strongest guy
your
ever?
Your brother?
Yeah. And you can't do shit?
Oh, so annoying.
It's embarrassing. We can't have a woman do something cool, I guess.
Nope.
Ugh. Mio runs into a courtyard, but the driver catches up to her. Then he eats a magical orb we saw from before and turns into an Oni. The Oni grabs her, and now she telepathically tells Mio to scream so Kyoka will come, but she refuses. Yurie returns with Suzuki, returns to Suzuki with a guard, and they find that Suzuki has only passed out briefly from being choked, so she sends a message to Kyoka. The Oni starts to squeeze Mio, but she
sent that earlier.
I don't know why she didn't send this earlier. I mean, this whole thing's a setup anyway, so I guess it ultimately doesn't matter, but whatever. The Oni starts to squeeze Mio, but she still refuses to scream. The paper Shikigami that Kyoka gave her a few episodes back tries to attack the Oni, but it's made of paper and pretty much does nothing, and the Oni swats it away. But remember this thing, it's about to be incredibly important. Elsewhere.
Stupid piece of paper, obviously you can't beat the thing.
Elsewhere, we catch up with Naoshi, and it's revealed that he's working with the Minister of Education, and they have taken over Army HQ. Naoshi is also planning on killing the Emperor, which feels like he's still killing Mio from season one, but whatever. Somebody needs to kill the Emperor. I'm so sick of that guy.
He's not on screen. Why is he still alive? He's not even showing up.
I don't know. Mio tries to attack the Oni by dragging them both into the dream realm, which is pretty cool. But they both sink into the abyss because without her dream powers, like her full dream powers, Mio can't really do anything else.
It is cool though.
Back in the physical plane, Kyoka attacks the entranced Oni and breaks his hold of Mio. Then Kazushi hits it from behind and breaks the orb, holding it all together. And Kyoka deals the final blow, and the driver is defeated. We did it. Mio tries to warn Kyoka that this is a trap. But it's too late, and Kyoka is shot through the shoulder and then the left kidney by an invisible Arata.
Ooh, Joe knows his anatomy.
That's right. I know he's shot in the side. Arata reveals his betrayal as a bunch of army guys rush through the entrance. Mioka tries to ask Arata what he's doing, but he just ignores her. Arata suspiciously also ignores Kazuishi and just takes Kyoka into his custody.
What?
Before leaving. What?
We're not attempting anything at all. And I'm like, let's just don't resist at all, I guess.
No, not a big deal. Before leaving, Kyoka tells Mio that he loves her and apologizes for taking so long to say that. And then he's dragged off as we cut to credits.
Love.
Love. Oh no, Kyoka, in danger again. He does really get shot. I feel like those are like pretty serious gunshot wounds because it goes through him. It doesn't it doesn't just like, you know, it's a high caliber bullet. He's gonna bleed out, but he doesn't bleed out even though he's constantly bleeding and does not really cover the wounds all that much.
No, and we don't see any healing or anything yet, but it's fine.
This is the big plan.
Walk it off,
which kind of just amounted to walking in and taking her. I mean, it kind of felt like they could just do this at any time.
Yeah, this is, I don't, you, Joe, your prediction, your guess as to the block of powers is so spot on. I'm thought you're being silly.
I don't know why they had to wait for it to start snowing. That I thought that was gonna matter in some way. It seems like it didn't really affect the plan at all.
No, I think it's just the snow just is like how she could gauge when the Emperor or Take whatever foresaw it. It's just like how the heads up. I should have said something sooner than the day it's snowing. Maybe say something in advance of the snow arriving.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I don't know. Real inaction here from the squad.
Yeah, I know. Embarrassing show by our sister.
Yeah, like it
choked the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah. Suki really just didn't get to do anything. It really is odd that like Takahito is like, we're just gonna have to strengthen our defenses, and then their defenses didn't do anything. Like, what was your plan, bro?
Yeah, no, I guess he's just like, this has to happen.
I guess
he's just seemed resigned to it was gonna happen, so maybe he just said it to say,
well,
they were attempting.
Maybe that's appropriate. It's being resigned to your fate for no reason seems to be the theme of this show. So. With that, maybe we should talk about episode 10, the one that makes you mad.
Let's hear it.
Episode 10 is called Promise. We open on the Shikigami that Kyoka gave Mio turning into a human child for some reason.
That strongly resembles Kyoka.
Yes.
Like a little baby.
Elsewhere,
with
Mio.
Bad haircut.
Yeah, it's a weird. I can't believe I thought this was Suzuki's fake non-canonical child. Who I guess just isn't going to show up. Like, straight up. We were right.
He never existed.
Elsewhere, Mio wakes up and everybody fills her in on what happened. The Gifted Communion have taken over the barracks and Army HQ, where they're probably holding Kyoka. While the army is hypnotized, because I guess he's hypnotized the entire army somehow, the Navy wasn't addressed at all, so Takahito called them in to defend the palace, so now the Navy's here. Suzuki tells Mio not to worry about Kyoka, he'll be okay. Best thing to do now is just to rest up. We cut to Arata, and now she's second-in-command discussing the state of things. He comments, or the second-in-command guy, whose name I don't remember, comments, compliments Arata on his betrayal, but Arata insists that he's only working to allow Mio's powers to emerge. Back at the palace, Mio decides that she needs to do something. Time to be active. She tries to find a way out of the palace, away from the navy, when suddenly Kyoka's Shikigami approaches her. He introduces himself as the Shikigami, and Mio is so relieved that this means that Kyoka is still alive. If he's able to create this thing, I guess. Back in his cell, Kyoka realizes that his Shikigami has made contact. I will say that his wounds have been covered up, but he is still bleeding through the bandages, which is bad.
Yeah, yes. Not top tier medical aid.
That does not mean you are healed. That means you are still going to die.
Yep.
Mio tells the Shikigami of her plan, and while he doesn't like it, he's going to go along with it. She doesn't really say what the plan is. The plan is just she's going to break out and figure out what to do. They meet up with Takakura, the guy who's Takahito's secretary, and he leads them out of the grounds using an emergency tunnel that very few knew about. They emerge out of the tunnel outside of the grounds, so we dodged the Navy. Mio asks the Shikigami what she should call him, and he says anything is fine, so she decides to call him Kyo. Elsewhere, now she goes over his plans to awaken Mio's powers, because that's his ultimate goal. Mio and Kyoka go to see her grandfather, and she tells him that she doesn't think Arata is really a traitor, but I guess we're just gonna have to, like, deal with whatever the hell he's doing. We're just gonna have to do our own thing, she says. She asks if there's something she can do to awaken her maiden powers, and he tells her that power can't solve everything, and becoming obsessed will lead to being like Naoshi, a statement that is objectively untrue, as we are about to learn in 10 minutes. Mio asks him to explain Naoshi's backstory, and he tells her that Naoshi's parents were murdered by robbers when he was a boy, but since the Asubas were forbidden from using their powers against regular people, they just let themselves be killed, I guess. But Naoshi did use his power to kill the robbers. For his crimes of defending himself, the remaining elders considered sealing his powers away, but then he became friends with Sumi and became less aggressive. But then all the stuff with the family company going bad and Sumi getting married happened, and now she got pissed and left. That's his summary of what Naoshi's life was about. Mio tells her grandpa that Naoshi's goals are to awaken her powers, so that there must be some way she can do it, right? And he shows her a notebook about the dream powers that she just had. He just had this notebook that explains her powers, and she reads that the way to unlock the powers is to have a heart that is strong and sure. And they're all like, well, that's abstract and mostly unhelpful, so I guess she's just going to have to figure it out.
Yep. Might as well not have read it at all. Thanks for nothing, Gramps.
I can't believe she's like, how do I unlock my maiden powers? And he's like, oh yeah, we got a book about that. Like, what do you mean you have a book about it?
Oh, I see what you don't. Okay, yeah.
Later that night, Mio invites Kyo to sleep in the bed with her, and he gets all embarrassed, and then he softens and gets into the bed, but heavily protests the appropriateness of him, a weird Shikigami child, getting in bed with Mio, because we have a tsundere child.
And you hate this.
I do hate this. I hate the tsundere fake child. This is my least favorite thing that happens in anime when they want to make couples, like, take the next step. This happens in Sword Art Online for no reason, where it's like, now the couple gets a surrogate child for no reason who does nothing, and this is all pointless.
Oh, okay. I guess it's because we later learn that there's, like, a tie between Kyoka and Kyo, so maybe it's like embarrassment from Kyoka.
But he wasn't the one who was embarrassed.
Even though he was, I know, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Generous read.
I mean, yeah, this is like, oh, Mio gets to interact with like a softer version of Kyoka that like she can see various sides of him and that's supposed to be fun. But also, this just don't seem like his emotions. Or like, I don't buy that this is what he is thinking and feeling through this kid.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I don't know.
It's weird.
We just need somebody blushing.
It's very weird. Dying, this is the most tropey thing happening that does not really fit what's happening in the situation broader. But it's fine. Mio falls asleep, and in her dream, her mother shows her another memory of her and Naoshi. In this memory, Sumi chastises Naoshi for getting into fights and convinces him to be less confrontational. Then she notices that his finger is bleeding and dramatically puts it in her mouth to stop the bleeding and then wraps it up in a scene that is crazy.
I forgot about this. I was like, eye roll, like, oh lord.
She's just the perfect mother, maternally figure. She's the protector, you know. She just is that.
Oh, I was just like, this is like a sexy thing and I don't like it.
It is very much like they're coming on, like she's coming on to him a little bit. And it is very much like, I wonder why now she got so obsessed with Sumi. I wonder how this could happen. Yep.
Well, she seems into him.
She does.
He's like from a branch of the family. So it's like he's not delusional. Like there was a thing going on there. And then she just turned or she just shut it off and he was supposed to get over it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get to it.
Time skips ahead. And now she complains to Naoshi about the Asuba rules from making any friends. And now she agrees that the rule sucks. But like, what are we going to do about it? And Sumi continues saying that she'll become the Dream Maiden and then use her status to convince the Emperor to get rid of those rules. She's like, I'm going to gain power and change things for the better. And now she's like, wow, that's pretty ambitious. And Sumi tells him to help her out with his abilities and they both agree to do it. It's their joint plan together.
By being her sheath.
Yes.
I didn't like that.
By being her sheath. She's going to be the sword and he's going to be the sheath. These guys were definitely a couple. What is this?
Oh.
We skip that, again later.
That sheath girl.
Yeah, crazy. It would be too on the nose. Well, actually, it's about to be very on the nose where he becomes the sword and she becomes the sheath. Hey. We skip again later where an older Sumi admits that she isn't going to have Dream Maiden powers. She's like, I developed other powers, which means I'm not going to be the Dream Maiden, which means my plan won't work now. But now she offers to be the one to make the Emperor change his mind in her place. He's like, the plan can still work. I'll just be the sword this time.
Well, you're not the Dream Maiden either, so, like, she could still do it. Just support her doing it.
Well, yeah. Well, but Sumi is not the Dream Maiden.
But neither is he.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, this plan doesn't really revolve around being the Dream Maiden. You just need to have enough power to get the Emperor to change the rules.
Right. Yeah. Okay. She's weak sauce with her dreams. Nothing.
Yeah. Then we cut further in time, where now she is now confronting Sumi about her plan to marry into the Sayamori family to, I don't know, make a bunch of money for their company or something. He tells her that he can just crush the Sayamori family. We don't need to go along with this. He's like, we don't need to do any of this stuff. I have magical powers that can make people hallucinate. I can just wreck all these people. Have you seen the Sayamoris? They suck. They're bad at everything. They're easily defeated by one guy. As we will see in season one of My Happy Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Sumi apologizes to him for her earlier plan. She's like, my plan was too aggressive and has turned you into a monster now. They should just play their roles and do what we're supposed to do. Why have ambitions about a better life when you could just give up? But Sumi declines. Or no. Now she grabs her hand and tells her that she should just... They should just run away. They could just run away. They could just escape the situation entirely. We don't have to kill anybody. We could just leave. But Sumi declines, saying that she'll do what she needs to do for the family. Let me jump...
Freaking family suck it.
Just... This is... this makes me so mad. We jump again to Sumi's funeral. A young Yurie finds Naoshi in the rain and invites him inside to, like, you want to come to the funeral? But he gets distracted, but then she gets distracted by the cries of Mio. And now she thinks about Mio for a second and leaves, saying that he'll always have Sumi in his dreams.
That wasn't Yurie.
I thought that was Yurie. Right? I think it is her.
No, because why would she be there? She's with the...
Fuck, you're right.
She's from...
Young random lady. There we go. I wish it was Yurie.
Maybe it's the chick.
It sounded like her voice.
Came for one episode.
Yeah. It sounded like her voice. Damn.
Because I was about to say, I did not clock that as Yurie.
You're right. That doesn't make any sense. But that would have been so good if it's like a person who's old now, was like a kid then, or like younger then. Whatever. Mio reflects on these memories as they end and asks what would happen if things were different. She returns to the scene with her mother because she's in a dream and her mother was showing her flashbacks, but the flashbacks end, and so now she's just in a dream with her mother. And she asks her mother if she's on the right path. Her mother doesn't answer, but instead Mio sees the past Dream Maidens behind her on a hill, and she climbs the hill, which leads to a torii gate with a sakura tree behind it, and she sees Kyoka at the gate. And she goes to him, and the tree flashes light as her full maiden powers are awakened. Back in reality, her grandfather asks if she's awakened her powers, and he says yes. And she says that she must stop now, she as we cut to credits.
Okay, so this is the episode that made you mad.
Because this show does a thing.
He's not so bad, the villain. Oh, let's hear.
It does a thing, which a couple of shows have done, which I don't know if they do it on purpose. Where they give you information about what the, like, antagonist of this arc's whole deal is. And it's the reveal that they're totally right about everything and are completely justified in being angry. And then they just kind of go along with the arc, like, well, they're still the bad guy, so I guess we'll beat them. Everything we're told about Naoshi at the beginning of this season is just demonstrably untrue.
I love the use of demonstrably.
Like, we have the proof. That's a great word. Demonstrate the fact that they're like, oh, he's like a psychopath. He's obsessed with power. He just wants to destroy everything. None of that is true.
He wants to make her dream come true. He's just going about it the wrong way.
I don't know.
I guess it's always that, like, oh, maybe the intention, you know, like, oh, even those with the best intention. Sorry, and now I'm going to start quoting Jurassic Park 3. you know, like, the best intentions. Whatever. I mean, he's going about it the wrong way, which means we still have to blah, 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 whatever. Slash, the chick he wants is dead, so he might as well put him out of his misery. I guess.
Well, I mean, the question is, what does he actually want now, right? Because everything we've seen about him in these flashbacks is, like, there is an injustice done to the Asuba family where they are not able to interact in, like, a regular, healthy way with the people around them. And not only that, but, like, I guess now she was just supposed to let some robbers kill him. I guess that's what was supposed to happen. I guess he was supposed to stand there and let a guy stab him through the chest. Instead of using his powers, a thing that is would be acquitted by any jury, but is like being treated like he's
they
crazy.
Just killed his parents. Yeah.
He's like a traumatized kid. Yeah. And instead of like, and what do they do is they punish him for it.
Yeah, it's wild.
And then Sumi is like, this sucks. Like, this makes my life bad. We should try to change these rules. We should try to accumulate some power so we can change the rules. They're not accumulating power because they love power, by the way. They're accumulating power for a purpose to do a thing. That is good.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get to accumulate it because she doesn't have the powers. And then all this stuff happens. Yeah. And like she ends up marrying into the Sayamori family. And now she offers her an out. This is crazy to me. Like retconning this to being like she actually had an opportunity not only to like save the family, but also getting out of the situation that she did not take.
Well, I guess there's the part where she's terminally ill. But
that's true.
Maybe she doesn't want to leave Mia with an alleged psychopath.
Yeah, that's, you know,
guy that would not.
That's true. But instead, she left her with the Sayamoris, and we all saw how that turned out.
Yeah.
Like, so
she could have just given her back to the grandfather. He wasn't terrible.
She could have done so many things. The thing that makes me, I don't understand Sumi here. I don't understand anything about what she's doing.
As a kid, she seems very strong-willed and this and that. And then she's like totally subdued after having the kid, which I don't love. That's like, she's just lost her will to live now that she has a kid.
It's weird to me that like in season one, she is really presented as like a woman caught in a bad circumstances that's trying to make the best of the situation, right? Like she's been dealt a very bad hand. She is sacrificial and is trying to make the best life she can for the people she cares about, right? And that like works, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she steals Mio's powers. That's kind of the best she can do. Like it's kind of really presented in this way of like, she's doing the best she can while having access to very little power to change things. And then in season two, they're like, well, actually, she could have just asked this guy to do anything she wanted to. She had access to the most powerful guy ever and just declined to do anything because violence is bad. Because using power is a bad thing. Let's just ignore the fact that the Emperor is using his power to destroy your whole life, to like trap you in bondage forever. Don't worry about that. That's legitimate state power. It's okay that the world is ruled with an iron fist by the Emperor of Japan because he's the Emperor of Japan. If now she and the Asubas try to do it, oh, suddenly that's unacceptable. That's tyranny. This is so stupid.
Yeah.
This makes me so...
Well, maybe it's like a whole raised with the Asuba mindset versus her daughter's going to be free of that upbringing, and so maybe she'll be the one to make the change because, I don't know,
but
blah, blah, blah,
what was her
whatever.
Plan? What is Sumi's plan? If, okay, if Mio didn't luck into being, falling in love with the world's strongest guy, she'd be dead in a ditch right now because the Emperor would have just had her killed.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Like, straight up, there's no ambiguity there. That would have happened. What is Sumi's plan? She has no plan here. She's like, I just care about Mio, and I care so much about Mio, instead of entrusting her, like, Mio with the most powerful guy she knows, who, you know, is, like, obsessed with her, so he would take care of Mio. We know that. Instead, she just doesn't do anything. She's just like, I'm gonna keep Mio with me. I'm gonna die of this terminal illness I know about, and then I'm gonna let my shitty husband inherit her and treat her like garbage. Even though I know that she's like an enemy of the state. What is this plan? It's a stupid plan. What is she thinking?
I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
Like, it, maybe she's this not. Is explained in the light novel. Maybe the light novel gives us information.
Really ill. It wipes you out. Too tired to think.
That makes sense about this. But I could not, for the life of me, piece together what is going on at all.
Season 3, more flashbacks, or the last episodes of this.
It's crazy that everyone's like, now she's obsessed with power. And it's like, no, it's not. He misses his girlfriend. What? That stuff just isn't true. All the stuff that gifted communion.
Mio's going to be all high horse of like,
oh,
this
my
isn't
God.
What my mom wanted, blah, blah. Yep.
I mean,
which I guess we'll kind of get to.
Like, there's the total cop-out at the end of season one where Takahito's like, hey, I'm sorry the royal family destroyed your whole life. And she's like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to demand some kind of, like, accountability from anyone. I'm going to let you all get away with it. The Emperor's not even dead. He gets to live and still be the Emperor. No consequences for him.
That'll put a stop to his scheming for good.
When that episode happened, I thought he was dead. So I was on board. Because I'm like, well, at least his ass got got. But to learn that not only did his ass not get got, he's just doing whatever. He's still the Emperor.
He gets no screen time, at least.
I need Naoshi to kill him. Okay. He doesn't kill the Emperor in this episode, and probably can't, because I think this is trying to stick to some kind of historical accuracy or whatever. But he should. I want to watch. I want to watch Naoshi squish his head like a grape.
Ugh. Maybe.
God.
Well, I guess we can't dwell on it any longer.
We gotta do episode 11. But oh my god, this made me lose my mind. Episode 11 is called A Resolute Departure. We open on Arata visiting Kyoka in his holding cell. Kyoka, who is still bleeding, tries to use magic, but he can't. And Arata explains that they have a barrier to prevent magic set up right over there, down the hallway, in the big opening. There's a big orb. Kyoka accuses him of being a traitor, but Arata assures him that he's doing this for Mio. Then we cut to Mio waking up. Then we jump to Mio telling Kyo the plan, which is to go to the barracks to find Godo. They go to the barracks, but they see an angry mob at the front gate, so they can't go in that way. Instead, Mio leads into the back, where she shoves open the back door, and she comments that she saw this working in a dream, and they go inside. Suddenly, Mio and Kyo are ambushed by Godo and his team. They recognize her, and they back down. Godo leads them to the base, and they discuss the status of things. Godo tells Mio that they're gonna go save Kyoka, so don't worry about it, but Mio's like, actually, I'm gonna go save Kyoka, and you should, like, stay here and do something else, because I gotta go finish the arc by saving Kyoka and defeating Naoshi. Godo offers to go with her, but then Kazuishi shows up, volunteering instead to go in his place, and tells Godo that he needs to be the acting commander here. In a very flirtatious way, he, like, whispers it to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy. I can't believe they, like, tried to make it, like, seem like he's not gay, because they're like, oh, we'll ask Kariko if she's into Godo, that way it'll seem straight.
Yeah.
But like, these guys are boyfriends. You can't convince me they're not. Who does this?
We can ship. Miller's gotta be shipping. I'm gonna look that up.
It's gotta be happening, dude. He like whispers, he like walks up to it and whispers into his ear. He's like, you're supposed to be commander. Are you really going to just abandon your duty like that? What's Kyoka going to say? And Godo's like, oh shit, he's right. You can just say that at normal volume. You don't need to whisper it.
What's this guy's name? Kazushi.
Yep. Turn off safe search.
Kind of ship. Okay, this is a... Reddit post.
Okay.
Oh, apparently it's all in the book. They have a lot more banter. Goto talks about how Kuroko is free to live who she wants. And I just blah, blah, blah. Kazushi low-key accuses Goto of being gay for Kyoko. I've also gotten plot setup vibes from the fact that... Okay. I'm not going to read too much, just, but it seems like there is, or according to AI overview, the Goto Kazushi ship in My Happy Marriage is a popular fan pairing, often called Goto Kazu or Kazu Goto, seeing romance.
Of course it is.
Boys love potential and their playful teasing dynamic, even though in the story they're more like competitive friends, brothers with blah, blah, blah. Fans interpret their banter, especially in the anime's hospital scenes, as flirtatious, despite the source material.
What is this AI?
Rivals who eventually...
What kind of agenda is this AI? Like, is there using Grok? What are you using?
Why fans... Oh, I don't know. This is just Google. Why fans ship them? Flirty banter, boys love appeal.
Why would they? Why would they ship each other? They're just whispering to each other in the yard. They're just doing normal guy things. God, we need to retrain those AI models. They don't get it. They don't see the vision.
Well, it looks like there is some...
Oh, yeah. Other people, human beings, see the vision.
Oh, hold up. On Tumblr. Oh, wait, no.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
scared.
Oh, yeah.
No, never mind. No. Okay, continue with what we're talking
right.
about.
Well, hold on. Let me go to, you know, there's not a lot of My Happy Marriage fix on AO3.
AO3? What is
Archive
that?
Of Our Own?
I think you told me
the
about
the fanfic
this.
Website.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyways. Let's see what happens. Elsewhere, the Minister of Education comes to yell at Naoshi. He's like, why didn't you guys do anything about the Navy? They're the Navy. That's like a lot of dudes. There's a lot of dudes in the Navy. You didn't have a plan for an entire branch of the military as we're doing our governmental coup? What do you think we're doing? But now she's like, it's all going according to plan. And then his henchman kills the minister. And then his henchman is like, what are we going to do with the Navy? But now she's like, it won't matter. As soon as we get Maiden Power Mio, we can just do whatever we want. So, like, you deal with the Navy. Who cares? I don't think this is a good plan anymore. I think this is a pretty bad plan all of a sudden.
Yeah, it seems like there is no plan past getting our hands on her.
Yeah, it feels like you could have done this plan without...
read the book. It's like he didn't read the book in his gramps' basement about how she unlocks her power.
It seems like he probably didn't have to take over the entire army to do this. I feel like he could have just, like, captured Kyoka some other
way. It's overly ambitious.
This is, like, pretty intense for being like, yeah, who gives a shit about the Navy? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Mio goes to meet with Tadakio, you know, as Kyoka's dad. She says she saw him in the dream, but doesn't know why she should meet him. And he says that Kyoka asked him to help out if anything happened to him. So maybe she needs his help. And she's like, all right, cool. Please help. But really, we're here so Mio and Kyo can go see Fuyu upstairs. And she's like, did Kyoka really make this tiny version of himself? That's goofy as hell. And she's right. It's incredibly goofy. She asks Mio if she loves Kyoka as a member of the Kudo family or as a guy in his own right. And Mio's like, I love both those facts about Kyoka. And Fuyu's like, cool, that's the right answer. And then she brushes Mio's hair.
Nothing like the approval of your future mother-in-law brushing your
that's
hair.
That's right. Then she tells her...
A cute bow.
Then she tells her... God, this also killed me. That... As women, the only thing they can do to live well is to love whatever they receive from their families and what other husbands they get assigned to them. Romantic feelings are not required, but that isn't the case for Mio, huh? That's pretty lucky for you, she says.
So that implies what? You don't love your husband? You weren't into your husband?
I mean,
is that what's going on there?
Yeah.
Even though you're all hoity-toity, like...
Yeah, he's so nice to you. He's calling you... Whatever.
What I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast of like, here's our outdated stuff.
Well, I mean, this is the thing is like, the thing that's crazy is that like, oh yeah, she like women can only live well and love, you know, whatever they receive because they lack power. It sure would be crazy if one of you was the most powerful person in Japan. I wonder if you're going to use that for something productive or you're just going to be resigned to your fate as a woman. It's crazy that Sumi, who knew the most powerful dude ever who would do anything for her, decided to do nothing and just happily receive what her family and her husband she got. Too bad I couldn't do something to try to forge a better life for myself. Oh, well, I guess I just have to love whatever I get as a woman.
What is Fuyu supposed to think? You saw how weak her daughter was.
God.
God.
This show sucks, man. I hate this.
Oh, my God. Joe hates it now. Welcome.
I hate this so much. It's so depressing and bad. I understand that we're going for some kind of historical relevancy, which is true historically. This is the plight for many women. I understand. I'm not, you know. But, like, you guys got magical powers. Joe, come on.
Yeah.
Suzuki couldn't learn to blow stuff up. Awful. Anyway, whatever. She says this, which is, I mean, it's a nice sentiment to be like, you know, you kind of have to play the hand you get dealt. And it turns out you got dealt a pretty good hand. So that's great, Mio. And Mio's like, yeah, that is great. But you also hugs Kyo because it's her son as a tiny boy. Why not? Mm. Later that night, Mio's kind of nervous because they're going to storm HQ tomorrow. To calm her down, Kyo offers to sing her a lullaby, God, and does.
Okay, how is this in the sub?
Why is it? It's fine. I mean, it's just like a high-pitched little boy voice singing a song that's like, whatever. Wait, how is it in the dub?
Yeah, no, it was, I don't know. It wasn't the most charming. I don't know. I mean, it's fine. His character feels unimportant and
it doesn't matter. Kyo doesn't matter ultimately. It's fine.
Like,
whatever.
He is not important.
He's the mascot. We've been asking for a mascot and we got one. It's Kyoka as a tiny child who does nothing. It is mostly unimportant.
A temporary mascot.
Oh yeah.
Children don't last in this world, let me tell you. We've encountered two. Neither one was long for the something terrible happened to their son. And they're just not telling us.
Ugh.
And they got over it quickly, unfazed by the loss of their child.
It's just wild how it just didn't come up at all. I still can't be like, no line. She doesn't say anything. She's like, Mio's like, what's his face? Well, you're staying here at the Capitol. And she's like, oh, you know, he's like at daycare or whatever. Nothing. No acknowledgement.
Mm-mm.
It's the next day.
Maybe this OVA.
Oh, maybe. Thank God. He can only live in the OVA universe.
Yeah.
It's the next day and Mio sets out to Army HQ. Goto and his men make a distraction while Mio, Kyo, and Kazuishi break in from the side. They run into some guards, but Mio traps them in a dream illusion and they get past them. This was pretty cool.
Yes, this is very cool. More of this,
yeah,
please.
She puts them in like a big tunnel and they get like sucked into the floor. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I hope they have nice dreams. And I'm like, Mio, you put them in a nightmare.
I thought it was the guy who said that.
It is the guy who said that. That's very funny. And she's like, no, it's like, not what I did.
With quite the character change.
Arata and Naoshi get an alert.
Well, I like. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. There I am. I am just so slow to talk. I missed the break. My cue. Block. Sorry. I at least we're getting like looks of determination. We're getting more facial expressions from Mio these episodes, and I like that.
Yeah. I like active Mio. This is her being active. I mean, this is what we wanted from her.
I just hate her face in season one. This face. I fucking hate her face.
I mean, the Mio character development has been very solid. I like the Mio stuff for sure. It's the everything else I have a problem with. Let's see. Arata and Naoshi get an alert that Mio is present and they head out. Mio and crew have gone to the basement where the holding cells are. They find a big seal orb and identify it as the thing that's blocking magical powers because it's just kind of floating in the middle of the room. Kazushi goes to dispel it, but they're interrupted by a big rat oni that just kind of shows up. Kyo throws a brick at it.
Was it? Oh, it's kind of.
You didn't think it was a rat?
Continue. I might be misremembering. I'm thinking of the one that's later.
The one that's later?
Okay, this is like a wolfy thing. Isn't it wolfish?
Is it
like
wolfish?
A unicorn?
Yeah, it's got a horn. It's like
I thought it was more canine.
No, I said it was a rat.
Better than some of the ones we've
seen. That's true.
Or the chicken one.
Yeah, better than the chicken with hands. Oh, I miss the chicken with hands. Remember in season one with all the grotesqueries?
We're serious now.
All the grotesqueries in season one were just like little ghost guys. They should have all been chickens with hands or like weird animals.
Bang.
Let's see. Kyo throws a brick at it to get its attention, and it starts to chase him. He runs away while Kazushi works on breaking the orb. Kyo trips and is about to get got when Mio runs after him and tries to use her powers, but the barrier is still up, so it's like just giving her a headache. Fortunately, her presence was enough to distract the rat Oni, and it starts chasing after her. It's really fast and is about to get her when Kazushi breaks the seal and Kyoka blasts out of his cell and then blasts it with fire.
And okay, because in the dub it's like paws off Hirsch. That's my fiance. I'm like, it's the monster. It doesn't know what you're talking about.
Let's see. Kyoka and Mio reunite. Mio apologizes for not telling him her feelings earlier, but she's going to do it now, and she tells him that she loves him, and they hug. This is sweet. This is nice.
Yes, this is nice. Yep.
Then Kyo shows up.
Everyone's animated well. Sorry.
Then Kyo shows up and tells him that he's glad they're reunited, and then he admits that he and Kyoka share senses, which embarrasses Kyoka because he's like, I didn't just sing you a lullaby as a weird little child. Don't admit that I did that. That's weird.
Cringe. How embarrassing. Cringe. It's okay. She thinks everything you do is cool. Yeah. I doubt she could be cringed. She can't get the ick. It's impossible.
It's impossible. Then Kyo disappears back into the paper form. Outside, Goto Swan.
It seems like he's never going to come back.
I don't know. It seems
like he could come back easily.
He's like, it's curtains for me. Thing? And then he just goes back into normal form. And I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, I guess it would be really weird. I would hate, if I could make like a little boy version of myself, I would hate having that little shit around. That would drive me crazy.
I want to see little Joe scoff at the world.
Like everybody would always want me to bring him out. Like, oh, bring out little Joe. And I'm like, no, absolutely. I hate that guy. Terrible.
Oh, man.
Outside, Goto Squad fights the Gifted Communion. It's going pretty well it's going pretty well. Kazuishi also joined them, and him and Goto are having a fairly relaxed conversation while the battle's going on, and then Tadakio shows up for no reason and just starts blasting. I feel like they were already winning.
Yes. He's also, again, showing how much better he is than
his
son.
He's so much better.
With a cool giant. Like ice blast. I'm like, God, Yoka.
He like makes a big
we
ice
get
wall.
It. You like thunder.
He makes a big ice wall and then he's like, hey guys, what's going on? And I'm like, this guy loves to fight.
Remember when he used fire and ice once? You wouldn't. Like, he only uses the lightning now. Come on, dude. You've done multiple different elements. Let's mix
it's
it
lame.
Up. The lightning's boring.
It's lame.
Come on. It's so lame.
I can't believe that like his dad is cool, can do all the stuff, but then like Suzuki can't do anything except make the background blue. Come on.
I like your wistful sigh there. Just what could have been.
Anyway, Mio and Kyoka go to confront Naoshi and Arata as we cut to credits.
Ba ba ba. Okay. Joe, they lost him. They lost Joe.
What are we doing?
I liked Mio.
Yes.
In this episode.
Yeah, the Mio stuff's good.
Which she has been a big gripe of mine in season one was her. So my biggest complaining point is not as bad.
Yeah. She's doing stuff. She's active. She tells Kyoka her feelings. She's not hiding stuff. It's good. She's trapping people in the dream realm. That's cool. It's awesome. It's great. Good for Mio. We love you, Mio. Good. Kyoka, I don't know why you created this small child version of yourself who did a bunch of cringe things.
Yes.
Like, got embarrassed about sleeping in a bed.
I guess if we can't have romantic things with him, the best next thing is the child him?
Mio gets to be motherly, the thing that all women should be.
Yeah, I get maybe we're... look what motherhood did to her mother.
Oh, no, I'm being sarcastic. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I made her weak. She as a kid, she was about to be like, I'm going to fuck up the emperor. I'm going to go freaking toe-to-toe to that asshole. I'm going to be like, let me have friends or I'm gonna break your shit. And then as an adult, she's like, oh, no, 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 now she can't do something. You can't.
She's like lost all... tonation, like she's just a zombie lady.
Yeah, I have to protect my daughter who, when they find out is the Dream Maiden, are going to exploit her for her entire life. So I'm going to seal her powers. But then when I seal her powers, they're going to find her useless and treat her like garbage. This is important to me now, Shi. It's important for my daughter to get a terrible upbringing for no reason. Let me do this. It's important. This is how we will keep the peace. The Emperor surely will not crush the Asubas for no reason later on anyway, which he could do at any point in time. What do you think's going to happen? Ugh.
Well, we're going to find out what happens in the conclusion of our coverage of My Happy Marriage.
She's going to give a speech about, like, not using violence, and I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to lose my mind.
I think if we're getting a season three, I'm guessing that's going to be her being like, I'm going to, you know, we beat crazy guy and now she, and then I'm going to make my mom's dream come true the way she would have gone about it or something.
What's her dream?
Thanks to my Asuba family, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Takahito's like, hey, you should get rid of those rules. And they did. It took 5 seconds.
Oh, never mind. Damn, Sumi getting all strung up on her.
Okay. If they just killed the Emperor,
I don't know.
Then Takahito would have ascended, and then they could have just gotten those rules changed.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's that easy. It could have been that easy.
Then I'm guessing maybe, I don't know, we get another kiss, and then they still don't sleep together, and then they never get married the end. For My Happy Marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they do.
They're definitely going to be married by the end of this.
I want them. Here's what I want. I want them. I want Kyoka and Mio to do a combo move. Like a 1-2 punch. You know what I mean?
Well, he can barely do anything.
Yeah, he is bleeding out. But I want that. I want like, you know,
their love.
She like tees him up and then he knocks it out of the park or something. I want that. I want a combo move because there's no better way to show that two characters like each other and like have a bond that matters than watching them do a combination attack together. That's it's very true. Powerful when that happens. And then they should high five.
Do you have any good examples?
Let's see. In the video game Hi-Fi Rush, there are characters that...
Is that good?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, it's like a rhythm beat 'em up game. There are characters that when you just watch them interact, you're like, these people aren't friends. And the only thing that convinced me they're friends is that certain times you can do a combination attack where you like do a cool pose together and you do this attack. And at the end of it, you like high five. And I'm like, okay, these guys are friends. Cool. That convinced me.
It's like Fire Emblem.
It's like Fire Emblem.
Where you rank up and you get better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Persona.
Yeah, like Persona. Like when you gain combos. Ranks in Persona, you can like combo dudes. It's a sign of your camaraderie and relationship. And I think Kyoka and Mio should do that.
For sure.
They're not going to, are they?
Well, I highly doubt it.
What do we think Arata's deal is? Is he just going to be like, I was a double agent?
I think it's going to be like, and now you've unlocked your powers, and now I'll help beat this guy, or I'm gonna try to beat him and die trying, and that's gonna redeem my legacy.
That'd be crazy. I want to point out that tons of guys died in this coup. Like tons of people are dead.
Don't worry about it.
Think about it. But just know nobody gets in trouble, if we let everybody off the hook again, just know that all those people died for nothing.
I don't think they're gonna reflect on that at all.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, next time, episode 12.
The end.
Season 2 OVA.
The end.
Yes, and then what happens after we finish our coverage of My Happy Marriage?
We get a new show!
We cover a new show. Joe's suggestion, it'll be my first time watching.
That's right.
And a return to the classics.
Mm-hmm.
Revolutionary Girl Utena is what we'll be covering next.
I'm
excited.
When I started this podcast, I thought about this show and I was excited to watch this show, but we needed to do some table setting first, and we had to watch The Rose of Versailles as setting for this, is what I said. And we did, and it was great. And now we're gonna watch this, and I am going to be so fascinated to see what your response is, because this is like a big, messy show.
Ooh, a big, messy show. Like troubled production, or like just kind of zany, or like
It's kind of zany. There's a lot of stuff going on in it.
Don't reveal it. We'll find it.
It's pretty cool. It's cool. This is like a, you know, cult classic. People like it. Does it have an opening?
Does it have a good opening?
Yeah, it has a good opening.
Okay, cool. I'm excited. Rosa Precise, it was the best show we've covered, so I'm stoked for this one. We got a girl with pink hair. That seems pretty shoujo to me. I need some actual shoujo after covering My Happy Marriage, which didn't feel very shoujo to me. I'm ready. I'm ready for a strong lady protagonist. It's been too long.
Well, good news.
And
we're going to get that. And it's going to be, there's going to be a lot to talk about. So I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you haven't watched that before, just because it's old, don't knock it till you try it. It's available in sub and dub on YouTube.
Yeah, this is how I realized you can change the audio track in YouTube videos. You could go down and select the audio, so you can listen to the dub
this
or the sub.
This is a discovery for me,
which is
as well.
I didn't know YouTube could do that.
I guess maybe most channels just don't offer.
Yeah, that's like kind of a weird option.
Is it like the original? Maybe they had to like upload both.
Yeah,
and have it.
Yeah,
twice to be available within the same video. Anyways, yeah, so that's what we're covering next. So you can start getting jazzed up about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that one's the longer one. And we'll figure out what episodes we're going to cover, which we'll announce by the time we record next episode.
Those are going to be hard to summarize. I think that'll probably be two episode summaries, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Good thing that's not my job.
Yeah.
Show problem, not mine.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right. Sweet. Okay. And as we're wrapping up this one, a great way to put a bow on the end of our coverage of this is going to be with some
reviews,
ratings.
Rate us 5 stars out of 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice and tell your friends about us. Tell your friends. Now, we just watched all of My Happy Marriage, or we're about to watch all of My Happy Marriage, a show that comes out. And I think there's going to be a third part, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a third season. It seems like they're going to release a 3-part thing instead of a third season because it's Netflix and they hate releasing a third season of anything.
Damn. Okay.
So
interesting.
Tell your friends about that. And also get hype for Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant. You know, if you haven't watched this, you're in for a good time. Because I have seen this before. If you have watched it, then you already know. So tell your friends about it. Make posts about us online. Post about us on the internet.
We may be inactive on social media about us, but that doesn't mean that you can't be in our stead. Sorry, Sarah's dropped the ball drastically.
It's just us.
But whatever.
It's only the two of us. Nobody else. We don't have like a production company that works with us. We're not like.
Yeah, you hear how busy Joe is. He hasn't got time for anything. And I'm just lazy. Yeah. So don't expect much.
So.
It's a miracle the podcast is being made. It's in my hands editing it. So be grateful for that.
Yeah. So please do that.
And today we learned
just give up,
don't have kids. It changes your whole personality. Ooh.
You may think that the circumstances of your birth create bad situations for you, which are injustices against you, and they are, rightfully so. You recognize that these are injustices against you, and when push comes to shove, if you're ever able to accumulate the power to change them, the power to affect the world in a way that will prevent other people from having the same adversities that you have, you should always choose to do nothing instead. Mm-hmm. Don't try to make it. Just don't push back against the status quo at all. Yeah.
I wonder if I continue to not say anything, how long you could go on with the like. Today we learned.
Just a segment here. Segment. It feels bad to be like,
it could go
listener,
on eternity.
We are recording on MLK Day, so me sitting here and telling you to protect the status quo is like a double irony for me right now. Do not protect the status quo. The status quo is put forth by a bunch of powerful assholes who don't care about you or your family. They would gladly see you die for $5. So don't do that. never be content with the status quo. Always challenge things. Authority figures have never in the past and continue to this day cared about you at all.
That's right. Stop listening to that song from High School Musical about status quo.
Wait. Mm-hmm.
Just stick with the status quo.
But that's like, they like subvert that later. So High School Musical actually has. Yeah. I think my happy marriage should learn from High School Musical. Should we just, I need the fake where with High School Musical, but it's Kyoka and Mio. And she's like the nerd who can sing, and he's like the jock.
And she gets the K necklace, the K letter necklace for Kyoka. Yeah.
Who would be the Sharpay of my happy marriage? The Emperor?
Kazushi. No, she would, it'd be Godo and Kazushi, right? Kazu, whatever the hell his name is. Our boys love.
The boys would be Sharpay and Sharpay's brother, whose name I don't remember.
Lucas?
Yes, it is Lucas. Yeah.
Something like that.
You remember in High School Musical 2 when there's that song they sing about baseball? And then at the end of the song,
I just want people to know I have only seen the first one and it wasn't that much, but my sister Caitlin was obsessed with it. I don't want people thinking I voluntarily watched my High School Musical.
They sing a song about baseball in High School Musical 2. And at the end of the song, Gordon Blue's character and Lucas have switched outfits somehow. And that should be Godo and Kazushi.
Oh my God. They're getting hanky panky in the doghouse or something. The dugout. That's what it's called.
That for sure. Heavily implied. I think the Sharpay would be Kariko. That'd be funny.
She don't got enough sass.
She don't. That's true. People were saying in the book she was like she was like scheming a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We got more comments from that user. So we're getting lots of more context. So you should definitely, for anyone who wants to know more, you could read the light novel or you could read the YouTube comments for these episodes where one of our lovely listeners enlightens us on how this could have been better.
Okay. Yep.
That's it for today, folks. It's the late recording for us.
Yep.
Joe's got to hit the hay. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to watch Love Island All-Stars as a nightcap.
Wow.
What a way to go.
What a way. It sounds like you're dying.
All right.
What a way to go.
I've got a new shower head to install. That's exciting.
The real stuff.
Yeah. All right. Catch you guys next time.
Bye.
For our last episode of My Happy Marriage. Thank God, the moment I've been waiting for months
This is still, even though these episodes killed me, I still have enjoyed the show.
A month. No, how long is months? It feels like forever. yes. Okay.
All right.
That's all, folks.
Bye.